And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean to say this show, man, goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, you hear ads playing during the breaks, right? And that's how things operate. You got to have ads to be able to stay on the air. Well, listen, just so you know, Right Side Radio, we are a standalone business. All right, the station you're listening to us on, they don't own us. We own the content. We send the show to them. And the only way we can continue to support that is to have the revenue like any other business, part of which is generated through people buying ads. So if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, if you listen to the show and you're thinking, man, Boomer and Phil got it going on, I want to be a part of that, I know those Right Side ruffians will support my business, well, you're probably right. And we'd love to have you. And the way it works is you don't call the station, you have to call us directly. So go to Advertising and Contact tab on rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on advertising. Send us a message, and we'll get back to you ASAP. We'd love to have you in the fold. That's rightsideradio.org. Advertising. Send us a message, and we'll be there. All right, a couple more texts, and I'll jump into my next topic. Mike from Rogersville. He says, hi there, Mike from Rogersville. Remember that not one kid in the Baltimore school district can do math at grade level, not even one. That is like some next level awful. John from Harvest, every time the topic of school choice comes up, I'm reminded of, okay, I don't know what this is, Pornell's Iron Law Bureaucracy, which states in any bureaucratic organization, there will be two kinds of people, those devoted to the goals of the organization, gives me an example, and then he says, the Iron Law states that in every case, a second group will gain and keep control of the organization. It will write the rules and control promotions within the organization. True school choice is the only way to break the Iron Law for the good and the benefit of kids. That was an amazing text. I think I could do an entire monologue on that text. Thank you, John. Appreciate you. And I think that's it. Okay. Let's go to number two on the Triple Dipper. Do we have any kind of a sound effect that sounds like a rodeo? Anything? Nothing. Nothing in the entire repertoire. Nothing that sounds like whips cracking and people going, yee-haw. No.
Nope. Nothing.
Okay. Do we have some jackassery?
We do have jackassery.
Thank you.
Thank
you very much.
That's a farm animal.
There you go. It's a farm animal. So number two on the Triple Dipper, I'm calling this the Speaker Rodeo. Oh, my soul. They are out there in D.C. right now roping goats and herding cats. That's the way this is going. Crack that whip. Hee-yah! I'm just saying, the Speaker Rodeo, it's nuts, y'all. It's absolutely nuts. And it has gone from nuts to nuttier to nuttiest, perhaps, at this point. We have now gone from having a couple of guys, Steve Scalise, Jim Jordan. Didn't get Scalise. Jordan kept his name in the ring. Jordan went to the floor three times. Even though the caucus voted for him, 25 Republicans said, no, we ain't going to do it. Why? They're moderate. They don't like conservatives. So we didn't get Jordan, who I think would be a great speaker. And by the way, let me back up and just say this. I believe that Jim Jordan would have been a great speaker. I also believe that the removal of Kevin McCarthy, this was not the time. Not the time. I understand that Matt Gaetz had the opportunity. I understand the grievances that Matt Gaetz had because they grieved me too. I did not like the fact that Kevin McCarthy rolled over and did a continuing resolution omnibus spending bill, which basically was a continuation of Pelosi's budget. I get it. Look where we are right now. The world is in conflict. The continuing resolution is unfortunately now up again in the next, 3 weeks? And we don't have a Speaker of the House to help herd the cats. So timing was just awful. That being said, the fact that we are now 3 weeks down the road and we've gone from Scalise Jordan to no Scalise, just Jordan, to now we have nine candidates. Nine. So news broke a little while ago, and we expected it. It wasn't really like a big news flash, but the Republican House Caucus is meeting this evening. That's the whole body of Republicans meeting this evening to vote within the body again for who they want to see come out as Speaker. Will there be one who gets a majority? I don't know. There's nine to choose from. What are they going to do? Whittle it down? All right, fellas, here's the deal. Cast your ballots. We'll take the top four. Once we get the top four, we'll take the top two. Then I don't know. Is it going to be at a vote by attrition? I don't know how they're going to do this. All I know is you have nine. Nine. And they come from all walks of what I would call Republican politics. Some are moderate. Some are true conservatives. Some are what I would call energetic and go get them. Some are brand new freshmen. Some are old and been around for a while. But why is it taking so long? Well, there's one article that I pulled up off of Fox. It's an opinion piece by a guy named Christopher Bedford. And Bedford wrote this thing, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with that. That a part of the reason why this is taking so long is, number one, the establishment is mad. And number two, the establishment thrives off of chaos. Because when you have chaos, you don't have any opportunity for spending cuts. When you have chaos, you don't have anybody out there with the ability to truly enact change, because you have no choice but to get a little something done to keep government going while you continue to fight the chaos. Well, that's where this article kind of leads us. It says Republican infighting in the House of Representatives since the ouster of Speaker Kevin McCarthy isn't so much creating dysfunction as it is exposing dysfunction. It says over the past 10 months, strange coalitions have been built and dispersed, candidates have risen and fallen, private animosities have burst into public view, and the D.C. legacy media has proven itself incapable of explaining any of it. But it points out, and I, by the way, I'm a longtime Republican. I have always been a Republican, but it's still frustrating to watch. It says the grand old party, the GOP, has long suffered from misalignment with its donor class and leadership holding completely different priorities from its voters. And that's been true for a long time. The donor class is very often not quite aligned with what I would call the grassroots voters within the Republican Party. And yet, the times that we have seen breakaways on that have wound up ruining the Republicans' chances of doing more. For instance, when Ross Perot, who I just finished reading this past weekend, I just finished reading on Wings of Eagles, the story of Ross Perot rescuing his men from Iran when the Shah was deposed. Amazing story. I have the utmost respect for Ross Perot. But when Ross Perot ran for president, some say that's why we got Bill Clinton. And I tend to agree. He split the votes. But it points out in this article from Bedford that, you know, we're looking at right now the fact that Jim Jordan was just derailed, and yet he was a fixture in conservative circles. He was a co-founder of the House Freedom Caucus, which, by the way, think about this. What more example can you have of political leadership than the ability to step into the fray in D.C. and help start something called the Freedom Caucus? That was a place where it was not welcome, and for a long time, there were no more than like a handful of them. Now there's like 50 in the caucus. They also, by the way, helped get rid of John Boehner, who is now a marijuana lobbyist. Former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, now reduced to being a marijuana lobbyist. Jordan, though, even though all that was said about his conservative bona fides, he went on to earn a ranking position on the Oversight Committee. He was able to work with Kevin McCarthy. He still held sway with conservative members while also maintaining productive relationship with the House leadership. So all said and done, he would have been a great one, I think. They weren't going to have it. The establishment was not going to have it. Not going to have it. To be clear, it says, since the drama over McCarthy's replacement began 2 weeks ago, Republican voters have made their wishes known. So, yeah, they don't have any way of saying they didn't know what the base wanted. They know exactly what the base wanted because the base told them in no uncertain terms. They got more small donor donations into Republican coffers along with angry phone calls to those who were opposing Jim Jordan than they had. I mean, it was so much so that some of the whiners on the Republican establishment side were saying, Jordan, you got to tell these people to stop pressing down on us. It's not helping. Okay. Here's the thing. It might be revenge against, you know, the enemies of Scalise. It also might be revenge against what Matt Gaetz did. But more importantly, what this article is saying is those who are the benefits or the beneficiaries of appropriations, like things like continuing defense reauthorizations and resolutions and omnibus bills, they thrive on weak leadership. They thrive on it. And a hollowed out speakership, it points out, benefits politicians who want to keep the good times rolling for their donors. And it cripples those men and women who come to Washington to make a difference. That's where we are right now. That's the reason why this article, and I tend to agree, says that we don't yet have a new speaker. Because those that are in the establishment, those that are the spending class, they thrive on chaos. And they love it when we have chaos, because they can get what they want out of chaos a whole lot easier than they can when everybody's able to pay more attention. I'm going to come back in a minute from this break. I'll take a call first, Boom. But I've got 9 House Republicans to break down for you. Before I do that, though, let me just take a call from line one, Tom in Athens. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Good, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
As far as the speaker thing, I'm a little bit selfish because I live in an area where I want somebody to take care of us. And I thought, who is the senior Republican conservative in the House that's from the South?
Are you asking me, or are you about to tell me something?
Yeah, I'm just asking you. I mean, I had to look it up just to make sure, but it's Mike Rogers.
Well, Mike Rogers is not running for it, but I'll tell you who is Gary Palmer from Alabama, who's number 5 in the House.
Right. And I just thought about he's been there, he knows the ropes, and maybe he doesn't want to, but nobody's brought his name up. And I just thought, God, what, we need a guy from our area. I would love to see a guy from area and that's from the South, that's from Alabama, that's going to help take care of us and then still have those super conservative values.
Then stay tuned. I'm about to tell you more about Gary Palmer, who represents Alabama's 6th Congressional District, who is the number 5 man in the House, chairs the policy committee, and was the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, who's now put his name in the hat for speaker. So, Tom, thanks for the call, man. Oh. You got a great point. It'd be nice to have somebody from home. We'll take a break right now, Boom, and we'll come right back. We're in number 2 of the Triple Dipper, the Speaker Rodeo. Oh, yeah. Roping goats, herding cats. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense like a superpower, I like to say. Hey, listen, I gotta just keep this thing going here, the speaker rodeo. So just so you know, this needs to happen. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day, and even on the show, I think I said it, that keep in mind that what we are watching, for all its warts and blemishes, that what we are watching is actually clearly an indication that we live in a democracy. There's that. Why do you say that, Phil? Well, because where else in the world are you witnessing, or can you witness, the orderly transition of major leadership power like what we saw? I do not think that Matt Gaetz exhibited any wisdom in the way he handled this. He just went up there and decapitated the House leadership. There should have been some working things through. There should have been a plan. But he just went up there and bam, did it. And afterwards, I just can't help but wonder if Matt Gaetz started having oh crap moments when he realized they weren't going to get Jim Jordan in. I don't know. We'll never know. But here's the thing. What we're watching is the orderly transition of power by vote of the duly elected representatives of the people. Not all of which listen to their people. I get it. That's not what I'm saying. So some of y'all are out there who were quick to just go ahead and say, they're all corrupt. Everybody's on the take. Stop it. What I am saying is this. It's a freaking mess. It's a goat rope at every single turn. But where else in the world can you see this and it happen peacefully and not be considered a coup? Where else can you see this and there not be a call to arms or people pushing down the gates to make it happen? So don't be discouraged in that regard, because what this is living proof of the fact that you live in a democracy in which the people have a say, at the very least through their duly elected representatives. I know it doesn't always work out that way, but sometimes it actually does. So, that being said, once he was gone, I was like, okay, you know what? Game on. Bring me a guy. Bring me a real solid dude, somebody who can get in there and lead. And I was really excited about Jim Jordan. And I'm really bummed that he's not there now. I'm not going to be a bit surprised to also see some of the chuckleheads who were in the caucus who just like to seem to kind of string this thing along now start nominating Jim Jordan again, even though he went to the House floor three times and couldn't get the votes he needed. But here's where the people are. Story on thehill.com. 2 out of 3 say the House should elect a speaker as soon as possible. In other words, people are a little concerned about world events right now. We're like, jeez. So a USA Today Suffolk University poll found that 67% of those surveyed said the House should elect a speaker as soon as possible. Meanwhile, a quarter of the respondents said they don't care whether a speaker is elected, claiming the situation curbs congressional spending of taxpayer money. It doesn't. It doesn't. They may not be able to pass new legislation, but you're not seeing it curb anything, because what's going to happen is they're going to wind up having to pass a continuing resolution in about 3 weeks, and it's going to just continue Nancy Pelosi's budgeting. It says the push to elect a speaker soon was observed across party lines. 86% of Democrats, 57% of Republicans, 59% of independents all support the election of a speaker as soon as possible. The House has been in a state of paralysis following the historic ousting of former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Yeah, keep in mind, first time in U.S. history that's happened. Woo. Now, they made it very clear that John Boehner was not welcome back, and he chose to resign. But this is the first time there's ever been a vote from the floor to vacate the chair successfully. There's a poll that's been done. 1,000 registered voters from October 17th through 20, a margin of error of 3.1%. 67% says they prefer that they get this done as quickly as possible. They're tired of it dragging on, and they're concerned about what would happen if they do continue to drag it on. Now, there's 9 people. Y'all, there's all God's children going to run for speaker right now. Boomer, you want to be Speaker of the House?
Not really, but might as well run.
Hey, come on.
Come on, let's
throw your name in the hat.
See what happens.
I forgot to do my pick-ems, but I can still be Speaker of the House, can't I? Why not? Anyway, the bottom line is this. 9 people are now running. You went from Scalise Jordan, from McCarthy, to Scalise Jordan, to just Jordan, to now 9. I'm going to tell you who the 9 are after this break. And by the way, in deference to our caller, Tom, I will go ahead and let the cat out of the bag that if you haven't already heard, one of them is Representative Gary Palmer, who was on the show here with us a couple weeks ago, or maybe a week ago. Congressman Gary Palmer, founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, is now putting his name in the hat to be Speaker of the House. That's interesting. All right, we'll talk about it. That and more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios for hour number three. It's about go-home time for a lot of you folks here on a Monday afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, folks, we got the local, the state, the national, covering all of it like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So we're in number two of the Triple Dipper, the Speaker Rodeo. All right, so the Rodeo is And, man, this is madness. Right now, there are nine Republicans that have bellied up to the bar, y'all. There are nine Republicans who have said, I'll do it. Some of whom you kind of look at and go, I expect that. And some of whom you look at and go, who? but that's where we are. So who are the nine? Let me break that down for you. You might want to know that one of them is Jack Bergman, Representative Jack Bergman. He's a Republican from Michigan. He announced his candidacy last Friday. He's a retired three-star from the Marine Corps. Bergman's office said he is widely respected on both sides of the aisle for his national security experience and can work with both members of both parties. He says, what we need right now is a speaker who has experience leading and can put ego aside to work together for the American people, a leader who shuns permanent power and recognizes we have a current crisis of leadership. Well, he nailed that. I get it. I like the idea he's got, you know, military experience. But right now, he's also been endorsed by four other members, all of whom are from his delegation in Michigan. Then there's Byron Donalds. You know, outside of, I think I said before all this really got going, before we even knew Jim Jordan was coming, I said I could see Byron Donalds being a future Speaker of the House, and I still think he could be. But Byron Donalds has announced, a Republican from Florida, has announced his intent to run for Speaker on Friday, just a few hours after the GOP dropped Jordan. He's a member of the House Freedom Caucus. He's a hardline conservative. He also says, I'm running to become the next Speaker of the House to secure our border, fund our government responsibly, advance our conservative agenda, and expand the Republican majority. Let's get to work, he says. Then there's Tom Emmer. I am not excited about Tom Emmer. Now, Emmer is, you know, not all bad, but Emmer is a Republican from Minnesota. This is the one that our buddy Jeff Poore said that he thought was going to wind up being like one of the top candidates. Well, here he is. Tom Emmer. He is considered to be a high-ranking kind of establishment guy. Number three, because he's the House whip in the House Republican caucus. He's considered a front-runner in the race. He's also, I believe, been endorsed already by Kevin McCarthy. So there's that. Then there is Representative Kevin Hearn, Republican from Oklahoma. Who's Kevin Hearn? Well, he's the chairman of what they call the Republican Study Committee. They all have there's the House Freedom Caucus, there's the Republican Study Committee, there's the, there's another one called the House, I don't know, Thinkers, I forget what they call them. But anyway, Kevin Hearn, he does have some of the same hardline conservative ideals, that appeals to the Freedom Caucus. He's also considered, though, to be more centrist than Jordan was. He did, by the way, support Trump. He supported the 2020 election being a stolen election, and he voted against certifying the 2020 election. Then there's Representative Mike Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana. All right, Louisiana, that's where Scalise is from also. Mike Johnson, he's an ally of Jim Jordan's, running to replace him. He's also the chairman of the Republican Study Committee and a member of the House Judiciary. And then there's Dan Muser, Republican of Pennsylvania, running to become Speaker. He's been in Congress all of 3.5 years. He said in a post to Twitter that his campaign will be messaged on focusing on politics of inclusion. And every member of the Republican Congress, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. In this day and age, you should know better than to use the word inclusion as a Republican. You won't be taken seriously. So, Dan Muser, you're done. Then there's Austin Scott from Georgia, who surprised everybody because he was actually in the voting the other day. And he's a freshman, I believe. But Austin Scott, a conservative, he was outraged when the California Republican Kevin McCarthy was ousted. So I don't know if he's going to wind up being the guy because he's seen as being a big McCarthy ally. And then there's Pete Sessions from Texas, who's been around since 1997. He actually got beat in 2018, switched districts and came back and ran again and got reelected. So he's back. And he is saying he wants to be speaker. And then, ta-da, as of Sunday afternoon, Alabama Representative Gary Palmer running for speaker. So Gary Palmer, if you're not familiar, he's an Alabama dude. He's he covers much of the Birmingham area, parts of the surrounding counties. Gary Palmer, the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute. You hear our friend Stephanie Smith come on all the time. That's the Alabama Policy Institute. And Gary Palmer is the one who started it 30 years ago. He's been a fixture in conservative public policy now in the Alabama area for three decades. But he ran for Congress for the first time in 2014 and won. And he's now in his fifth term. And he's basically said, okay, I'll do it. I'm going to run for this. He says he prayed about it, felt like that's where he needs to be. So Gary Palmer is also, by the way, one of the fifth most powerful people in D.C.'s House Republican caucus because he's the chairman of what's known as the House Policy Committee, which is the one that sets the agendas for what they work on. So his quote is this: all of this is happening at a time when our nation is the most divided it's been in nearly 160 years. If we ignore these issues, America will decline to the footnotes of history. This does not need to be our future. But how do we change the course? With steady conservative leadership. Palmer was a big supporter of Jim Jordan. He voted for him all three times on the floor. Palmer is also a guy who voted against the certification of the election results in 2020, and he's an Alabama guy. So interesting to see what will happen as the votes come down. But they're going to have their meeting tonight. We'll see if anybody gets the majority they have to have. Right now, Forbes magazine is saying, and this is before Palmer put his name in, Forbes magazine is saying that the top four in the race are Tom Emmer of Minnesota, Byron Donalds of Florida, Kevin Hearn of Oklahoma, and Austin Scott of Georgia. Whether that changes at all with Gary Palmer being in remains to be seen. And we'll get Palmer on the show as soon as we can just to find out how things are going. But that's the speaker rodeo, y'all. Tell you what, I got a couple minutes for the break. Let me see if I can take some. Man, Boomer, did you just hit a button and make the text messages come flooding in? They blew up. Thank you very much. Let me get a few of these. John from Brownsboro says, my five-year-old likes to play word games and math puzzles with a two-year-old sister, helping with the learning environment. Okay. All right. See, he's talking about how he's got his, I'm sorry, I didn't read, he sent me like three long texts. So I get you, man. Keep them going, John. That's the way you got to have those kids doing stuff at home like that. That's huge. Devin from Brownsboro says, McQueen for House Speaker. Make sure she knows that. McQueen feeling a little under the weather today.
That's funny. So. I was just writing her just to see how she was feeling.
Just tell her she's got at least one vote for House Speaker. Anita from South Huntsville, Matt Gaetz doesn't wash his hands after he uses the restroom. Okay. There's that. I cannot have him representing me. Okay. Lewis from Birmingham says, no offense to Tom who called in, but I guess you didn't catch what Rogers was going to do in public and still did anonymously to Jordan. He needs to be primaried out. So, yeah, I had an article, but I was running out of time. We were going to talk about that. But, he's crawfishing in a big way now, Lewis. Oh, I didn't really mean that we were going to work with Democrats. I mean, I didn't really mean we were going to do that. Sure, that's what you said in your angry way. Lewis, good points. And by the way, there is talk of him being primaried, and I think he has one contender right now who people don't know well, but we'll track that. Rap from Athens. Why has Jim Jordan not called Hunter Biden before his committee yet? Nothing going on in the House. All the investigations have stopped. Rap, you're wrong. You're just wrong. Rap, just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it stopped. It takes a whole lot in the background before you call somebody in to testify. And just so you know, Jim Jordan said today he's still real busy. They've got depositions, like three depositions to take next week as part of the investigation. So just because you don't see it, doesn't mean it's not happening. John from Huntsville. Phil, I don't think the Republicans are ever going to be able to agree on who should be Speaker of the House. You may be right. We'll see. No, they'll be able to. Raven from Russellville schooling me. Not a democracy, all caps. Supposed to be a representative republic, but it's not. Yes, it is, Raven. Come on, brother. Stay with us. Jay from Hartsel. With no speaker, who is third in succession? I don't know. Biden's dog? I don't know. Mike from Huntsville. That's how misinformed voters are. Mike Rogers is one of the stooges from McConnell that blocked Jim Jordan. This is true. Brian from Huntsville. Trucker John for speaker. Yeah, I can vote for that. Not joking in any way.
Trucker John.
All right, take us to a break, Boom. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and I'm going to number three on the Triple Dipper. Y'all, this is serious business. Wars and rumors of wars. It's a crazy world out there right now. And I'll lead off with a story from Axios, of all places, that says that this might be one of the craziest times we've seen in a generation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.